I'll be reading Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Brother Branson, will you open us in word of prayer?
Join me in singing hymn number 192, Ring the Bells of Heaven.
Thank you.
And stand once again, we'll sing hymn number 4, The Way of the Cross Leads Home.
Thank you. top because I said so. Because I said so. Because I said so.
Stand once again. We'll sing hymn number 5, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Hymn number 5.
Thank you. mercy tree. Every broken, weary soul, find your rest and be made whole. Stripes of blood that stain its frame, shed to wash away our shame. From the scars, your love released, salvation by the mercy tree. In the spot between two thieves hung the blameless Prince of Peace, beaten, battered, scarred, and scorned, sacred head pierced by our thorns. It is finished, was his cry. The perfect Lamb was crucified. His sacrifice, our victory. Our Savior chose the mercy tree. Hope went dark that violent day. The whole earth quaked at love's display. 3 days silent in the ground, this body born for heaven's crown. On that bright and glorious day, when heaven opened up the grave, he's alive and risen indeed. Oh, praise him for the mercy tree. Death has died, love has won. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus Christ has overcome. He has risen from the dead. Soon we'll see his face, and every tear he'll wipe away. No more pain, no suffering. Oh, praise him for the mercy tree. Death has died, love has won. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus Christ has overcome. He has risen from the dead. Death has died, love has won. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus Christ has overcome.
Well, amen. I'm thankful for special music, aren't you? Thankful for a choir that takes time to practice and works hard and then sings for the Lord's glory. And then those who sing specials, thank you. I always wondered, you know, my mom would always say, "Because I said so." And I would always be like, now it takes on a different meaning, right? Because I said so, that's good. Jude. We'll be in Jude, verse number 5. Mentioned in Sunday school, I want to mention again, if you would pray for Brother Marty Bush, they have two things that need your prayers. First one's a house. The house that they're living in is going up for sale. and they live down in Yates Center, but they want Kansas City prices for the house, and so they can't afford that. So they're looking for a place to rent, and so if you would pray for them, that God would show them where he'd want them to be and open those doors so that they can get that house and the house that God has for them. Then he's had issues with falling of late. He's fallen two or three times, and his knees are going out on him, and so they're going to replace his knees June 20th. And so if you'd be praying, you know, as you get older, you got to have this test, that test, and the other test. And so pray and get all those tests passed and then have the surgery, and then he'll need someone to help fill that pulpit. And so pray that we can find someone to help with that also during his recovery. But if you would pray for the Bushes, I know they would appreciate your prayers. All right, Jude, verse number 5. If you found that, you can stand with me in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. I'll begin reading verse number 1, or verse number 5, and you can follow along. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Lord, we love you today, and we thank you for the opportunity to come together and to worship you. Lord, we do thank you for hearing and answering our prayers. We thank you for the music today. What a blessing it's been to set the tone for the service. Thank you for those that take time and practice and use their talents for your glory. Lord, we thank you for the overturning of the Roe Wade this week. And Lord, we do, as already been mentioned, we are thankful for our babies, and we pray that you'd be with Kansas here in the next couple of weeks as decisions will be made here and votes taken. And Lord, that you would be honored and glorified through that also. Lord, we pray and ask that you would meet with us today. We have many needs. We come in here today maybe very distracted, and I pray that you'd help us put all those things out of mind and help us just concentrate on your word. We know that you have a message for us, and it's your desire that we might hear from you, and it's our desire to hear from you. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would just use me as a mouthpiece, Lord, that I would proclaim correctly your word to your people, that you might be honored and glorified through it all. We love you, and we ask these things in your blessed and most holy name. And all the people said, amen. You may be seated. So we've been going through the book of Jude, and the main overall theme for the book of Jude is contending for the faith. And 2 weeks ago, we preached about the creeps, and today we're going to preach about rebellion, about rebellion. I want to give you some verses, and because there's several of them, you're not going to be able to look them up because I'm going to go like firing a gun, just boom, 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 boom. But you might want to make note of them for future reference for yourself. The first one's Deuteronomy 31 and verse number 27. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I'm yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord. How much more after my death? 1 Samuel 15:23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Ezra 4:9 says, and I commanded, and search hath been made, and it is found that this city of old time hath made insurrection against kings, and that rebellion and sedition have been made therein. Nehemiah 9:17, and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. Job chapter 34 and verse number 37. For he hath added rebellion unto his sin. He clappeth his hands among us and multiplieth his words against God. Proverbs 17 and verse number 11. An evil man seeketh only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel stranger shall be sent against him. Jeremiah 28 and verse number 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. Today we're going to look at verses 5, 6, and 7, and we're going to see three examples of rebellion. The first one, found in verse number 5, is that the children of Israel, verse number 5, there we read, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. You'll remember the children of Israel were taken by God under Moses' hand, and they were led out of bondage. They had for years been suffering under bondage. They thought God had forgotten about them. God knew exactly where they was. He was trying to teach them some lessons. And when it was time, he sent Moses to lead them out of bondage. Now, if I'd been in bondage and I got led out of bondage, I would think that would be like glorious. Wow, I'm no longer here trying to make bricks, and I'm no longer here in servitude. Now I'm a free man. Now I'm out enjoying freedom. I just want to stop here for just a minute and say that sometimes men or women who are incarcerated can't stand it when they get out. They can't stand the freedom, and so they do something mean and wicked to get back inside of prison. There's something about being raised in that mentality, and I wonder sometimes if maybe that's not what happened to Israel. They didn't have someone to tell them what to do. They didn't know that they could freely worship God. They now enjoyed this great freedom, and they were being led by a good man of God, a man that God had lifted up, and they're going out, and they're coming to the promised land that God has promised them, and all of a sudden they get this bright idea, hey, let's send some spies in. And so they pick 10 were bad and 2 were good. You remember that? 12 spies to go into the land, and they go into the land, they search it out, and 10 of those bombs should have never been put on the list. By the way, God didn't tell him to build the list, did he? He said, go in and conquer and take that land. But man, in his wisdom, said, oh, we need a committee for this. You know, we need a committee. And so what do? To slow anything down, what you want to do is create a committee. That's why you'll find at Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple, we don't have many committees, okay? Because it just slows the process down. And so they have these 10 men go in, the 12 men go in, 2 come back and they say, oh man, it's great, let's go get it, let's go get it, it's great, man, there's big clusters of grapes, it's wonderful. And 10 come back going, oh, it's horrible, it's just horrible. They got these high cities and they're big, they got some big guys over there, and oh no, it's horrible, I just don't know. And so God says, okay, I'll tell you what we'll do. You're going to march around in the wilderness for 40 years. And that generation of naysayers, you're going to die in the wilderness. Now, would that stink or what? All of a sudden, I've been given this great freedom, and I'm out here in the wilderness being led by a good, godly man. All of a sudden, I go, whoa, wait a minute. Why don't we make a committee and send in there? And then those naysayers come back going, oh, it's horrible. And I believe them. And God says, okay, you're going to die right here. And for 40 years, they wandered around in this wilderness. And they, you know, I can only imagine what that must have been like, Brother Chuck. You know, guys our age, and we're kind of like, man, we could have gone in, and here we go. We're just marching off through the sand. And maybe the next time they come around, I'd be gone. Maybe the next time, you know, 3 or 4 more times, then Chuck would be gone. And eventually, that entire generation died. It was a judgment from God because they would not go in and inhabit. It was a rebellion against God. It was man saying, I know better than God. I know better than him, and I know God has said that, but nah, we're not going to do it. Matter of fact, Numbers chapter 14 and verse number 27, we read, "How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmured against me." I really feel sorry for Moses, listening to him complain and gripe and carry on. Numbers 14, verse 32, "But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness." Now, after having listened to them complain about my leadership, I think I'd been pretty happy to pronounce this judgment on them. "Okay, you guys, just because of the way you are, your carcasses," I kind of like the way you worded that, "your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until their carcasses, until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness." So here's this judgment placed upon them because they chose to not follow God, because they were so close to the promised land, and yet they bucked at it. They rebelled against it. Can I just stop and make an application to us today? So my first point is the children of Israel, hyphen, saved but not separated. Can I say today that there's Christian people who have been saved from bondage? I was saved from bondage back in 1976. I was under the bondage. I was born into this world a sinner. I met Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I passed from under bondage to life everlasting. Amen? You're sitting here today. You have that testimony if you know Christ as Savior. You can point back to a time, say, "I was under bondage." Bondage was different for all of us, but it included basically, I was under my own lust, my own desires. May have included alcohol, drugs, all those, but it didn't have to. It could just include pride and wealth and all those kind of things, but there was bondage. You could point back to a time and say, "Here, this time, this point, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I was no longer under bondage." Okay? Here's the correlation. I wasn't taken to a wilderness to pass to the promised land, but I am on a journey from the point of my salvation to the promised land. Amen? My promised land's going to be wonderful. It's going to be for all of eternity. It's going to be a wonderful place to go. But might I challenge you with this, that not everybody on that trip has kept their eyes on the goal. Not everybody on the trip has said, "You know what? I'm leaving the bondage behind." Amen? Isn't that the wonderful thing about being saved? I get to leave the bondage behind because the Bible says, "I am a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new." But many Christians are kind of like this. They want to drag the bondage with them. And can I just say, they're not enjoying the Christian life. If you're not finding any joy or happiness living a Christian life, can I suggest maybe you've still got the bondage? You still got your hands back there in the bondage. It still has a hold on you, a control on you, and you need to kick it away. You need to separate from it. You need to be separated from that life. And you need to look to Jesus Christ and allow Him to lead and guide in your life. And you need to draw close to Him, and you need to read His Word, and you need to do what it says so that you might have the great life that God has planned for you. But many are still locked in the past. Many are unwilling to leave. And can I just say this? I'm afraid that their life on this earth is going to be as a wandering. Wander into church, wander out of church. Sometimes things are really great. Boy, you know, I've been in church for 6 weeks now. I'm really getting close to God. Hey, haven't seen you in church for a while. Yeah, you know, I just got to thinking, I got to working, got to making money, and made a little more money, and I have these things to do, and I can worship God anywhere, anytime, and I'll get back to that later, and they go back to bondage. Can I say, without hurting anybody's feelings here today, that may be 75% of Christianity today? They're content with bondage. They're not willing to throw it off. That's the hardest thing in the world, is just to throw it off. I'm not going to allow myself to be in bondage anymore. I'm going to kick that to the curb. I'm going to turn and wholeheartedly live for Jesus. I'm wholeheartedly going to see what God wants for my life. And I'm going to take it and I'm going to do it and I'm going to apply it that I might live for Him, that I might know joy, peace, and happiness in my life. I'm going to kick that all away. I'm going to separate from the world. Joshua 14:10 says, "And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke his word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old." You see, out of those 12 that went into the promised land, 10 were bad, 2 were good. God chose to bless those 2. We find them crossing into the promised land. Moses didn't even get to make that trek into the promised land. But we find 2 going in. The 2 who brought back the good report. And can I just challenge you today? It's far better to live for Jesus. It's far better to put Him first in your life. To separate from the bondage. To separate from the worldliness. To separate from the lust and the pride and all that goes on in this life. Separate from it. Turn to God. Live for Him. Let Him fill your heart. Let Him fill your life. I love the song that we sang before one special where he's talking about the great love for God and what can I do in return for that great love but give Him my all, because He first loved me. He willingly sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross of Calvary that heaven might be my eternal home. Why wouldn't I love Him back? No one's ever loved me like that. This woman here's loved me for 42 years. But never has she loved me the way Jesus did. She's given me wonderful gifts, 3 of them I call my sons. But never has she given me anything that matches what Jesus did for me on the cross of Calvary. Why wouldn't I give Him my all? As I've given my wife my all and pledged to her my faithfulness, why wouldn't I so much more give myself to Jesus? First rebellion. Second rebellion, verse number 6. "And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, He hath reserved in everlasting chains under the darkness unto the judgment of the great day." Judges chapter 1 through 6. We would see about these angels and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. He hath reserved in everlasting chains under the darkness unto the judgment of that great day. They were holy and pure. So the setting is this: as you read the Bible, you will find that God and the Son and the Holy Spirit lived in heaven, and they had angels that were around them at all times. These angels had different jobs. There's Michael, the archangel we find reference to in the Bible. I believe he stands at the throne of God with the mighty sword of God. He leads the legions of God. He stands there in the presence of God. And Lucifer once stood in the presence of God. And he was the music leader. No likeness, Brother Aaron. He's a great guy and I love him much. But I'm telling you, he was the music leader. He made great music and wonderful music that filled the heavens. And one day he began to think, "Hey, I think I deserve more credit. I deserve more credit than Michael. Good night." He just stands there with a sword and looks all brawn and buff and all those kind of things. And here I'm. Everybody listens to me. So he leads a rebellion against God. As you study the word, you'll find that he possibly led even 1/3 of the angels against God. It was an uprising, and God cast them all out of heaven. Some theologians that I've read after said that those that are in bondage and chains today were probably the worst of the rebellious leaders. They were taken and cast into hell. And they were placed in chains, abiding the judgment to come. Satan and those that were not so bad in the rebellion, now roam this world as we know it. So you might say, well, what does that mean for us here on earth? Well, that means that there are demons that wander this land. It's real. Many times we hear the stories from the missionaries in the overseas, and they tell about demonic activity. They tell about the demonic activity and people being filled with a demon, and how that the church took great prayer and they prayed and God delivered this individual from the demon. You say, I don't believe that stuff. Well, in the Bible gives us examples of people who were full of demons, like the maniac of Gadara. And Jesus asked him, what is your name? And he said, our name is Legion, for we are many. And he asked them, and he gets ready to cast them out. And they said, hey, don't make us go into the water. Make us go into those pigs over there. And he's like, well, every Jew ought to hate pigs. And so he sends them into the pigs, and the pigs run down into the water and drown. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to bring accusation against God by killing the money-making activity of this nation where he was, in Gadara. And so sure enough, the people get mad and they kick him out because he had freed a man from bondage of the demons. So there's a rebellion that happened. That rebellion, I believe, still happens here on earth, even to this day. And we might say, well, yeah, on the third world country, foreign field, that still happens. Can I say it happens today in America also? It is among us. It happens even today here among us. I think that's why we've got so many wild, crazy, out there ideas like we've never had before. I think it's just some people maybe filled with demons. It's the work that they do here in our midst exists here today. They gave into pride. They joined Satan. They rebelled against God, and their final judgment is coming. Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Can I just say that that's a lot of the attitude of people today? I'll make my own desire. I'll make my own path. I'm going to live my life my way. Matthew 25, 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. 2 Peter 2, 4. For if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved into judgment. Revelations 12, 7 through 12. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, which is Satan, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their own lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. That last part of verse number 12 is so important, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. We are on the short time. it really can't be long before Jesus comes. Satan's going to do all that he can. He's going to disrupt our system. He's going to disrupt America. He's going to disrupt the world. He is making his run one final time, one more great showdown with God, because he knows the true showdown's to come. The third act of rebellion, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse number 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, and set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. This was a city that was given over to homosexuality. The inhabitants of Sodom were so wicked, the sinfulness had never been seen before, and it consumed the whole city. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and it serves as an example of the judgment that God will bring on this unholy lifestyle. And I think it was much more than just the homosexuality. I think it was all kinds of sexual sin. It was all kinds, kind of like the diversity we're seeing today, even in America, where men are, and women say, "I'm not this, I'm this. And I'm not that, I'm this." It creates this great confusion. And so it was, I believe, even during this time. In Genesis 19, verse number 1, "And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground." Verses 4 and 5, same chapter. "But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." This is how far their homosexuality and their lust for sin and their fornication and all that was involved there, it had pushed them to the point that they saw new people that came into the city and they wanted them brought out so they could have sexual relations with them against their will. Verse 11, "And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness." These were the two men inside, "both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door." How perverse was it? They tarried all night at the door. They wanted in so bad that they stayed there all night, even though they were blind, trying to get inside. That's how much they desired it. That's how much they lusted after these two men. Verse 13, "For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city and that which grew upon the ground." Lot started by moving away from Abram and moving close to the city, and then finally into the city, and finally having to be drug out of the city. Is so desirous of having what the city had to offer, the fame and the money and the fortune. It was so much more important to him to seek after those things than to live a holy, righteous life and to live like Abram and make God his God. He made the things of the earth his God. And can I just say, there's probably a lot of Christians today that they're really not looking for the coming of Jesus, or they really don't want Jesus to come soon, because they've got a lot of plans. They've got a lot of things in the work, and they're hoping some things are going to come through, and they're going to have a lot of money, and they're going to be able to enjoy this life. Can I just challenge you? This life is short. It's soon going to be over. Man, even if I live to be 80, that's 17 years. That's not long. Gone, just like that. And yet, men and women are willing to say, "I want to pursue this world. I want to pursue its stuff. It's more important that I have this big 401k. It's more important that I drive this vehicle, that I live in this house, that I have this stuff. These things are important. Can I remind you? Eternity is important. This stuff is but a drop in the bucket. Even if you're 1 year old and you've got 79 years ahead of you, it will pass just like that. Oh, let's keep our eyes on the right thing, and let's not be overtaken with the lust of this world, whether it's the lust to have more or the lust of the flesh to desire more and more interaction. By the way, any time that sexualness is taken to the limit, it always leads to a perversion. It's never enough. Anytime it's taken to the limit, it's pursued and it's desired, you're going to find that someone who desires that all the time, it will never be enough. 2 Thessalonians 1:8 says, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Romans chapter 1, verses 23 through 29. "And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things." So I've been in Papua New Guinea, and I've seen the false gods, and I've seen the totem poles, and I've seen all that junk to their false gods that they worship. It happens here, even in America. "Wherefore God also," verse 24, "wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator." There's the problem. Underline it. There's the problem. Worship the creature. It's all about me, preacher. It's all about me. God doesn't fit in next week. It's all about me. I've got other plans for my money, preacher, than giving to the church. It's all about me. I'd be more faithful to church, but you know, it's summer, and I've got a boat. It's all about me. Or I don't have a boat, but I've got a friend who has a boat. It's all about me. It's all about me. Preacher, you understand how many hours a week I work, and Sunday's the only day that I can rest? It's all about me. Hey, you can rest on Sunday. Come to church, go home, have the whole afternoon to rest. It's great. But the creature said, it's more about me than the Creator. It's more about me serving me than me serving Him. By the way, he follows up that comment there with a comma, and it says, "Who is blessed forevermore," amen? The Creator's blessed forevermore, amen? When we get to heaven, the creature's not going to be worshipped. God's not going to look at you and say, "Oh, Tom Kaler, I've been waiting for you to get here. You're such a great guy. Come with me. Come with me. You deserve to sit up here very close to me. Oh, let's all. Hey, I want you all come by and tell Tom how glad you're here." No, 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 no. It's about God. If you don't like that, I'm sorry. But it's all about Him, the Creator. It's all about Jesus. It's all about God. It's all about Him, not about us. And yet this is the mindset that they had. And it goes on and says in verse 26, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature." You might say men too. "And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lusts one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whispers." You know what all this rebellion has in common? Here it is. Well, couldn't have God stopped it? Sure. God could have stopped it. But we've got to remember this. man is made with a free will. That would have killed the free will. God says, nope, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you go. Israel, who I love, I've chosen you myself. I loved you so much, I sent Moses to lead you out of bondage, and you've come along this way, and now you stand looking at the promised land, which I want to give you so much, but you rebelled. You chose it yourself. You chose your own punishment. Angels, you're created into this wonderful place called heaven, where you have not a need and not a care. And yet some have stood up and say, I think that I'm more important than God. I think I know more than Him. I think that I ought to be lifted up. I think I ought to be worshipped. Whew, cast out. Sodom and Gomorrah. Boy, we got a lot of the fine things this world has to offer. Look at all this stuff. Look at all these things. And look at this. I can have multiple wives or multiple men, or I can do whatever I want, and all that I want, I can have. Whatever you desire, whatever the pleasure. Hey, I would even say Sodom and Gomorrah probably beat the island. You remember the island? Huh? The island? The one that all the wicked people of America have gone to, including some presidents, the island? Yeah. Yeah, we'd forgot about that. They went to the island, and they raped and took advantage of children, and no real judgment has come upon them. Can I just tell you this? Coming a day. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Jesus is Lord. At that judgment, all those things that may have seemed to slid under the radar, that no prosecution or judgment was ever made, it will be made that day. And it will last all of eternity. How about some good news? Nehemiah 9:17, I already read part of it, but let me read you the last part. The first part said, and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. Here's the next part of the verse. But thou art a God ready to pardon. Amen? Our God is a God of forgiveness. It doesn't matter how far you've gone down the rabbit hole. You can come back. He says, thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. And forsookest them not. He's still there. If you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I've actually had people tell me, oh, God doesn't want me. You don't know my past. Oh, yes, God wants you. He wants you. There's no one so wicked that God will not save. He wants you. And by the way, if you're already saved and you've gone and carried the bondage too long, it's time to kick it aside. It's time to say, I'm done with that. I'm coming back to Jesus. I want to live under His mercy. I want to live under His grace. I want Him to fill my heart, and I want to love Him the way that I should. 1 John 2:1-2 says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Why would you turn your back on God and desire to live for you? You can do it because you have a free will. But one day, there's coming a judgment. And one day you'll stand before God, and one day you'll give an account of you. I won't give an account for my sons. Some of them have done some things that make me awful proud, and sometimes they've done things that haven't made me proud. That's okay. They get judged for them. I need to worry about me. My mom was always quick to point out. We get in an argument at home and I say, well, Bruce this and Bruce that. She said, you need to worry about you. Mama says, you need to worry about you, okay? God says you need to worry about you. Because you will stand in His presence. And you will give an account. And you will have to say, yes, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. No, I thought that religious stuff was a bunch of hokey pokey. If I only knew, then I would have done it. It's too late. The loving God of this world says, come. Come. Never accepted me as Lord and Savior. You want to know that you can go to heaven when you die, that you can have pardon, freeness from sin? Come. Doesn't matter how bad it's been, how rough it was. You come. I'll grant that to you. Just come. Christian, you wandered away from God. You've lived out and you've lived your life and you say, man, I've made a horrible train wreck of my life. Just come. Come back to Him. Just come back. Say, God, I want to come back. I want your forgiveness. I want to be restored. I want to get on track. I want to put you number one in my life, and I want to live for you like you've loved me. I want to love you and serve you with my life. Lord Jesus, we love you today. And thank you for your goodness and your love to us. You're such a gracious God and such a forgiving God, such a caring God. It's so easy to get distracted by the junk of the world around us. It's so easy that our own lusts, our own sinfulness of the flesh would lead us astray. God, I pray today that we might be willing to just say, God, thank you for the examples, the three different examples that you gave us out of the Word. And God, if we line up with any one of those examples, might we today come running to you and say, God, I need forgiveness. I need restoration. Maybe there's some here, they've never accepted God as their Lord and Savior. And Lord, I just pray today that they might come. Let's take a Bible. Share with them from the Word of God how they can know that they're saved and on their way to heaven. Lord, take this invitation. Use it as you would see fit for your glory. We ask these things in your blessed and most holy name. Amen. Would you stand with me today? Brother Foster is going to lead us in Have Thine Own Way. If God's spoken to your heart, the altar's open. We'd encourage you to come. Whatever your need is today, would you come? Remind you, the service of this afternoon will start at 1, and there's no evening services the rest through September. all the way to September, except for VBS. And so our service will be at 1 this afternoon. Outreach will be the 2nd. Meet here at the church at 9. Go out, invite people to church. We'll have a special guest speaker next week, Brother Mike Reap and his wife Sandy, missionaries to the Philippines. They were a big help to Brother John Quinlan and Mrs. Quinlan when Brother John died during COVID. We couldn't get there for the service, but Brother Mike went over and did his service. So I've invited them so that we might love on them and just thank them for being a help to our missionary. And Miss Pam's coming home this week too. She's been back east with her family, and so it'd be good to have her here also. And then the 4th of July, we invite you to come to the Fosters. It's, you can take all your fireworks out there and blow them up. But I see Shawnee is now open season on shooting fireworks. So anyhow, we go out. It's nice and, I'm going to say nice and cool, but we'll pray that it'll be nice and cool, okay? And we'll have big potluck, and there's sign-up sheet on the back, what you might want, what you can bring, and it'll start at 5 o'clock, and looking forward to that. Youth Con's coming up, information about that, VBS, and then down the road we have another special speaker going to be with us. And so it's good to be in the Lord's house today. God bless you for being here. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer, and then we'll dismiss for today. Brother Chuck, would you lead us in word?
So much for this opportunity house today, and Lord, we thank you for speaking to us from your word. I ask you to help us as we are dismissed.